traveling by bike is one of the best way to experience a country, a city, a town.
Noticing the less noticeable independent travelers in the Northern Lynn Canal, and a good Alaskan sourdough knows what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tari Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Most Southeast legislative candidates had an easy primary with no in-party opponents. But it's now time to gear up for the real race, November 2nd's general election. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld talked to some of the candidates about how they're preparing, some for their first district-wide campaign.
The lack of a primary battle meant a fairly normal summer for some of the region's electoral contenders. But that's changing.
Fishing season's winding down. Silvers is going on, and I got to catch my halibut. So looking forward to getting started again.
Robert Beadle is a Cordova fisherman and city council member in his first run for the legislature. The Democrat is seeking the House seat, also representing two dozen or more small southeast cities from Yakutat to Metlakatla. That can mean a lot of flying.
You know, it's all weather depending, and I'd like to use the ferry system a lot. It's a very nice way to travel.
Beadle is one of nine candidates seeking six southeast legislative seats on November's general election ballot. He's challenging Haines Republican Bill Thomas, a three-term incumbent who's already traveled parts of the widespread district.
Huna, Cordova, Metlakatla, so I've been around already, but I think people know my capabilities and my staff's abilities.
Thomas, also a commercial fisherman, is not too worried about his challenger. In fact, he's planning major knee surgery during the campaign.
I'm hoping things will be fine and then they'll understand that, you know, pretty hard to hobble around. I can't get door to door, so I have to apologize for that, but just have to depend on more mail outs and then see when the doctor can see me.
A busier race is expected in the district, including Sitka, Pelican, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Port Alexander. Sitka Democrat and Assemblymember Reber Stein is already on the road and actively campaigning. He'll face the winner of a closely contested Republican primary. Wrangell incumbent Peggy Wilson appears to have beaten Petersburg Stephen Samuelson, but results are so close, Wilson is waiting for the final count to claim victory. Both have said they'll work hard to keep the seat in GOP hands. The capital city's three lawmakers have less campaigning to worry about. None face an opponent, but they still plan to put themselves before the public.
I'm not going to do door-to-door, but I will have some media, radio, for instance, and a direct mailing piece before the general.
Republican Kathy Munoz is on the ballot for a second term representing Juneau's Mendenhall Valley in the House. She's run for hotly contested positions before, and she says she and her family won't miss the time commitment and pressure.
You know, it's nice to be able to focus really on the issues and to really get out and talk to the community without a sense of a competition involved.
Juneau Senator Dennis Egan and downtown Juneau Representative Beth Kurtula also face no opponents in the November general election. Both are Democrats. The remaining Southeast race has another legislative first-timer, Thorn Bay archaeologist and city council member Otter Mobley. He admits his location outside the district's largest community will limit his campaigning.
Unfortunately, it's not as cheap as you'd think to travel the short distance between Prince of Wales and Ketchikan, so the number of trips I make is going to be largely dependent on the campaign money that comes in.
Mobley is trying to unseat Ketchikan Republican Representative Kyle Johansson. The two-term incumbent could not be reached for this report. Mobley says he'll rely on volunteers and phone calls when he can't travel, and his campaign schedule will be somewhat limited by his work.
Archaeology dovetails nicely with being a legislator in terms of scheduling the season. It doesn't dovetail so nicely with trying to run a campaign. Just like commercial fishing and a lot of other industries in Alaska, archaeology is a seasonal job, and this happens to be the height of my season right now.
Two Southeast Senate seats are not on the ballot this year. Angoon Democrat Albert Kukesh and Sitka Republican Bert Stedman won't be before voters again until 2012. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Sitka.
Aaron Bernstein from New Paltz, New York, visited Haines earlier this month. He was one of hundreds of thousands of other tourists who came to the Northern Lynn Canal and spent some of his squirreled away vacation money in local restaurants, stores, and bars. and left with stories about the area's mountains, wildlife, and people. But he didn't get here on a cruise ship, and he didn't have a car with him. He came to Haines on a Fuji touring bicycle.
Started from my house in New Paltz, and then cycled north up to Montreal, and then followed the Trans-Canada all the way across. Had to take a detour on the ferries because of the forest fires. Arrived in Haines, headed up to Fairbanks, and then final destination, Anchorage.
Bicycle travel is just one of the out-of-the-ordinary ways that tourists see Southeast Alaska. It's part of a segment of tourism that Haines Tourism Director Lori Stepanski and other tourism workers know as independent travel.
Independent travelers are those that don't come on a cruise ship. That's their classification. So they're coming by vehicle, bicycle, or they're flying in, or they come up on the ferry.
She says it's hard to track independent travelers, but anecdotally, Stepanski says it seems to be more and more popular.
Well, you know, they don't always necessarily identify themselves as bicyclists, so that's kind of hard to say. We do get a lot of bicyclists that stop here in the visitor center. Of course, they're looking for campgrounds and campsites and asking about weather and what have you, those kinds of questions. Their questions are a little more specific because they're going to be out in the elements.
Bernstein, with his bike, says it wasn't Haines that drew him necessarily, but the town's strategic location and placement along the Alaska Marine Highway's route.
I saw it on the map when I was planning my route originally and thought that might be cool to stop in there. And I got to because of the ferries, so yeah, pretty psyched about it. I've seen just all the beauty that there is when you come up the Inside Passage. That was amazing, the ride into Haines. And then just been tooling around the town, bald eagles, I saw some. But that's just been just marveling at the beauty here. It's been the best part so far.
Bernstein works as a music teacher north of New York City. He's in his late 20s. He started his trip from his home there in June and says he was surprised first at how much nicer people are in Canada and Alaska than down below, but also the ease of travel through the waters of Southeast Alaska.
Yeah, it's been fine. I haven't run into any problems. I think traveling by bike is one of the best way to experience a country, a city, a town. You see so much more. People approach you so much more easily.
Roger Weatherall with the Alaska Marine Highway System says over the last year, they've recorded more than 2,000 bicycles on ferries and no car, RV, or bus on the itinerary. Again, Stepanski in Haines.
Matter of fact, that's one reason why I went to that bicycle expo in Seattle with Southeast Alaska Tourism Council, because the ferry system is promoting those kinds of independent travelers, and they get a lot of bicyclists, and it's one of the lesser expensive ways to travel the marine highway system is with your bicycle. So we definitely get some of that traffic.
The bicycle trade show that she attended was in Seattle this year in March, but there weren't too many other cycling destinations attending that expo, she adds.
It seems to be a little bit of an untapped trade show that we could get a leg up on the exposure for the Southeast Alaska region. So I went as president of Southeast Alaska Tourism Council, and of course for Haines, but you do promote the region because, you know, if somebody goes this way far on a bike, they're probably going to be checking out as much as they can.
One surprise learned at the Bicycle Expo was how uninformed people seem to be about the ferry system, recalls Stepanski, even Seattle residents.
A lot of people were pleased to know about that. And there's a lot of pretty hardy people out there that are into trying to find different adventures, and the ferry gave them some different options for traveling on their bicycles. And a lot of people were asking about bike rentals in the different communities as well, and we have that to offer as well.
Every summer, there is a steady parade of bicyclists attempting or actually making their way to Southeast towns on spokes. Bike teams from Texas, friends riding from Skagway to Inuvik, soloists touring across Alaska, even a bicycle built for a family of five came through this summer.
Yeah, I've met so many people doing Alaska all the way down to Argentina. I've met maybe 10 couples doing that.
But at least one rider this season didn't make it. Bruce Martin had to cancel his Las Vegas to Haines ride after suffering an infection near his bike seat that required surgery. But overall, a lot of long-distance riders begin or end their expeditions in Alaska.
And I think there's just that element of the novelty of riding your bike across Alaska or across the world, and Haines makes a good stop because of the ferry system.
It was Bernstein's curiosity about Alaska, and not a lifelong passion for riding a bicycle necessarily, that inspired his trip this summer.
Well, Alaska was kind of the impetus for the trip, for sure. I wanted to get to Alaska. I've always wanted to go, and I just started cycling last year and fell in love with it. And I have the summers off, so I thought it would be an awesome way to get there.
Bernstein pedaled his way out of Haines earlier this month and has made it to Alaska's interior. He'll fly back home to New York next month. A good sourdough knows mining tells a good hunting story or helped settle Alaska and the Yukon to what it is today. And you can find a lot of them and their fans in Las Vegas, of all places, this fall. The 78th Annual International Sourdough Reunion is October 17th through 21st in Las Vegas. And any Alaskans or Canadians who served in the military, did research, helped build the Alaska Highway, or whose grandparents were miners, trappers, or fishermen in the good old days are invited to attend with a registration fee of $75. Sourdough clubs dapple the Pacific Northwest and beyond, keeping the pioneering days of the Yukon and Alaska alive through storytelling, among other things. It's been said that Robert Service never attended a reunion, but did send a poem to one in 1957, and Time magazine wrote up the reunion nearly two decades before that. To register for the International Sourdough Reunion, email Ken at logcabin@alaska.net by the beginning of September. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News.